praise the Lord, and just want to just greet my pastor, his wife and family, and all the elders, all the ministers of the Lord, and all the beautiful saints of God. Most importantly, our visiting friends tonight, just want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if we could just turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, and we'll look at chapter 2. And if we can pull up the King James Version, and we'll read from 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9 down to verse 12. Praise the Lord. First Peter chapter 2 from verse 9 to 12. And I will read in your hearing. Just waiting for it to be put up on the screen. Bless the Lord. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 says, which having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so just want to speak from the theme tonight, the light of good works, the light of good works. And so when we look at the call to be saints, the call to be believers in Christ Jesus, it is a very high calling. In this text, Peter, the apostle, in verse, I believe it's verse 9, he says that you're a chosen generation and you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a peculiar people. And the reason that we are chosen, that we're royal and that we're holy and peculiar, is so that we would show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's no other reason that is listed in this verse. It's for one thing, to show forth the praises, or to reveal the praises of the living God, reveal the glorious works of the living God. And so when we look at the Old Testament, and we see that God made a decision to choose one man out of the entire world, Abraham, and he spoke to Abraham and said, listen, I want you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to get out of the land that you have lived in, possibly all your life. Remove yourself from even your family. Remove yourself from the culture that you knew as the way of life. Remove yourself from everything that gives you a current identity in this world. Detangle or detach yourself from those things that used to define who you were, Abraham. I want you to leave all of those things behind because I have a new identity for you. I have a new calling and I have a new purpose. And so he separates Abraham and gives him a promise that to you and to your seed after you, I'm going to give a land, I'm going to make a great nation, and I'm going to allow all the families of the earth to be blessed through you. So all the families of the earth will come to receive their blessings through your light. And so from Abraham, we know that his grandson Jacob was given the name Israel when he wrestled with God, with the angel of the Lord that night. And from there, we see that Israel, who was just around 70 persons coming from Egypt, who were in Egypt as 70 persons, they multiplied until they became a great nation. And God, after he removed them or pulled them out of Egypt, spoke to them and said, listen, I am calling you out of all the nations in the world upon the earth. I'm calling you to be my witnesses and to be my light amongst the entire world. I want you to declare and you to reveal who I am, to show forth my praises. And he said, you, if you obey me, will be a nation who is peculiar. You will be a kingdom of priests. Every one of you will be able to walk in a priesthood, a priestly calling, if you obey and keep my commandments. And so we see that the nation that was called to represent God and to reflect his light in the entire world, they began to trade the glory for shame. They began to trade their God for an idol. And during that time, while they were waiting for the Lord, while Moses was in the mountain for 40 days, they traded their status. They traded what God had bestowed upon them for something that brought darkness. They traded their light for darkness. And the scripture says that while Moses was in the mountain, the people of Israel became vain in their imagination. They said, we don't know where this man is gone, and we don't know if he'll come back. We have no idea, and neither do we care anymore. But we're going to continue with the promise that we believe God made to us. We're going to go up to the land of Canaan. We still have a desire to possess the land, to possess our inheritance. We still believe that we can get there, but we're not going to go according to the way that God had prescribed. And no longer are we going to follow the leadership of the man that God has set in charge. And so they said, let us make us gods. And so they made the golden calf and began to worship it. And when God saw what had happened, he sent Moses down. And Moses came down the mountain of fury and in an anger and rage, recognizing that the people had just dismantled the hope of their blessing. They had just removed the glory and the covering that was upon them through their idolatry. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and he says, who is on my side? Who is on the Lord's side today? The scripture says that it was the men of the Levite tribe or clan who stood up with Moses. And they were so zealous for the Lord that they recognized that this kind of attitude, this kind of behavior would cause them to die, would cause them to undergo a great curse from the Lord. And so when they stood up with Moses, he commanded that every man who was involved in such a wicked act, who bowed down and worshiped an idol instead of the living God, that such a person be put to death. And the Levites, with great passion and zeal, were willing to bring out or execute the righteousness of God, to the point that they even were willing to kill those who were of their family, brothers, possibly children, possibly fathers, whosoever that it was that was committing such a heinous act and crime against God, the Levites were willing to destroy. And the scripture says that at that same moment, Moses spoke to the Levites and he says, listen now, listen to what the Lord says. He says that because you have done this, because you have stood up for what is right, and you have stood up for what is true, now the Lord has called you to stand in the priestly line. He has called you to be the kingdom of priests because you have obeyed his commandment and because you have executed righteousness as he has desired. And so we see that now the Levites, they had sanctified themselves and set themselves apart by doing what was pleasing to God. And so now God elevates them and uses them as the light. That now all Israel who would want to have their sins forgiven, whoever would want to have their sins removed, would have to submit themselves to that priestly line, to that family who was willing to surrender to God. And so all of them would now have to come as Moses gave the priests their instructions from the Lord. All of Israel would have to bring their lambs, bring their rams, their burnt offerings, their sin offerings, their guilt offerings to a priest in order for the priest to stand in their behalf and to stand in the gap. And so we see that now this priesthood was exalted in the eyes of God, and God had placed his blessing upon them to be a light. And Israel was those who followed after God. They were chosen as this nation to reflect his light in the earth. Now, it came to a point where Israel had backslidden from God. They had left the true God, the one God, who they were told there is only one God and there's none other but he. And God told them, in the day that you refuse to follow me, that you turn after other gods, the day that you decide to push me away and reject me, is the day that you destroy your own selves. And so they were scattered and they were brought into numerous nations, into places all over the world because of their disobedience and because of their sin. And while all of this was happening, God would constantly send prophets to go and prophesy to them and declare to them, listen, it's time to repent. It's time to turn back. Do not continue in your ways. The Lord will repent of what he's done to you. He will turn and he will forgive you, but you must repent. You must turn back from your sins. And so as the prophets would come every time with the light of God to bring this light back, to restore the light that had gone out, the children of Israel would reject this light. They would stone some of their prophets. Some of their prophets they sawed in sunder, they cut in half with swords. Some of their prophets they threw off of the cliff. Some of their prophets they put in prison. As these prophets came to bring the light, the children of Israel were constantly refusing to receive that light. They were refusing to be the light that God had called them to be in the earth. God was expecting that the entire world would see the light of God and be drawn to him. We see in the book of Genesis that the first thing after we recognize that darkness was on the face of the deep, and that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the first thing that we hear the Lord say, let there be, is light. He says, let there be light. And so God, whenever he sees darkness, his first instinct is to manifest light. And so because of the sin that was prevalent in the entire world, God said, I need to bring now a light to shine and cast out the darkness. And so Israel declined the light. We see that God raised up one more prophet, named John the Baptist to bring the light back to Israel. Right before Jesus Christ himself came, he said, now, John, I want you to go and proclaim that the light is coming. Proclaim that the light is about to shine and that all men should repent, that all men should turn, and that all men should be ready to shine the light of God. And so we recognize that when Jesus came, they were given that opportunity. And he says, Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 5, that you are the light of men. Speaking to the Jews, he says, you are the city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You are the ones that God has chosen to reveal himself and his light to the entire world. Salvation, Jesus said, is of the Jews. And we see in this scripture in Matthew chapter 5, he says, men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we see here that the primary purpose of the light shining through a believer is so that men would see and give glory to the Father in heaven. We recognize that the light beneath should really reflect the light above. The light beneath should reflect the light above. And so he says, the purpose of your light shining is not so that men would be attracted to you and praise you, but that men would be attracted to the light that is shining in you and glorify, give praise to the Father in heaven. And so we recognize that the Jews rejected this light. When they were given their final opportunity, Pilate says, I'm giving you one last chance. Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? I'll release to you a light today. Who do you want? And they said, give us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. Put that light out. We don't want that light to shine in our nation anymore. We don't want that light to be revealed in its brilliance in our lives anymore. That light is causing our sins to be reflected. It's causing our sins to show. It's causing our impurity. It's causing our unrighteousness to be revealed. So put that light out. We don't want that light being put on a candlestick anymore. Hide it under a bushel and put it out. And so they said, give us Barabbas. And they put Jesus to death. And when this light was put out, when they rejected the light, we see in the scriptures where Jesus says now, your house is left to you desolate. You have chosen to reject me and to put me aside. Now the light is going in another direction. It's heading to another nation. It's heading to another people. It's heading to someone. The scripture says, I was found of them that sought me not. They were not seeking me, but I was found of them. And Jesus now gives light to all who will receive him. We see on the day of Pentecost that when the light came shining in Jerusalem, and the light sat upon all of the apostles and the 120 disciples. As the light began to shine, what we see is that the scripture says, the men who were gathered around heard them speak the wonderful works of God. They heard them speak the praises of God. Because as the light sat upon them, it began to shine through their speech.
And the light began to shine. And as it shined, they began to speak the wonderful and magnificent praises of God. They began to reveal the glory of God. And so we see, if we can look at Psalms chapter 19. If we can pull that up on the screen, Psalms chapter 19. Praise the Lord. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. We see in this scripture, David is speaking now in an allegorical context. He's speaking of the heavens, but it's to bring out a deeper point. He's saying that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens manifest the light of God. The firmament, the sky above, it shows his handiwork. Then he says, day unto day, they utter speech. They're daily speaking to us. The lights, the stars above are daily communicating to us. Night after night, they show knowledge. They're revealing some mysteries to us daily and nightly. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Meaning there's no nation, there's no country where these lights that are above are not seen, where they're not exposed. He says their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. These witnesses in the sky reveal the glory and the majesty of God. They show forth the praises of God. They were set there. He says, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. In the heavens, he has placed a tabernacle, meaning that the sun is set in the midst of that tabernacle. It's in the midst of the host of heaven, the stars, the moon, the all of those things that we see above. It is a tabernacle. They have set a tabernacle for the sun to shine. And this is all reflecting the glory of the Lord. It all now gives us an example of God himself. And so we now have been called and have been chosen out to expose the beauty of our Creator, to expose the beauty and the light of Jesus Christ to the entire world. There should be no place where this message is not sent. There should be no country where this message is not heard. It is through this showing forth of his praises that those who are in darkness will come to light. But how do we show this light? How do we manifest the light? Is it through telling people about Jesus? Is it through encouraging people to turn to him? I believe that is a part of it. Is it through praying for our neighbors and friends? I definitely would say yes to that as well. But there's something more. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, our main text tonight, the scripture says in verse 12, if we can pull it up one more time, we can look at it. Scripture says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Having your conversation, that word conversation just means lifestyle or your conduct, how you behave yourself, how you act, how you live. That should be honest among the Gentiles or among those who don't know Christ. One of the major points of witnessing, or one of the major points of reflecting the light of Christ, is how we live in the sight of other men. And the scripture says that our conversation or our lifestyle should be honest. When we speak of honesty, what comes to mind? We think of someone who will speak the truth. We think of someone who will do what's right despite the circumstances. Having an honest lifestyle means that we're not going to change just because no one's watching. We're not going to live as a hypocrite just because we're in the presence of people who don't know that we're Christians. We're not going to switch how we act when we're amongst the believers, and then once we get with unbelievers, we're a different person. But when you're an honest person, or when you live in an honest manner, your life is consistent. Your life is in alignment with the principles and the teachings of Jesus Christ. When we have an honest lifestyle or honest conduct, what happens is the light of Christ is able to shine through us. We won't be able to be deceived. We won't be bribed. We won't be bought out. And so someone who is consistent in being honest is someone who is willing to suffer even when they know that something great is at stake. They're willing to suffer even when it means that friends will walk out of them. Even when it means that their family will ridicule them. Someone who is willing to live an honest lifestyle is someone who they'll take a pay cut even if it means I'm going to lose my job. They're willing that even if I don't get a promotion, I'm not going to lie on my resume. Even if I'm not going to be accepted into this group that I've always wanted to be a part, I'm not going to compromise my standard. I'm not going to allow deception or deceit to come from my lips. Even though I want this thing so bad, I may want this relationship so bad, I may want this job so bad, but I am not going to allow the honesty that God requires of me to be compromised so I can get that blessing. And so Peter says, when we live an honest life, there will be times where people don't understand that, where they don't understand why is it that you are choosing to live an honest life when it's yielding results that seem unfavorable. When you're not advancing, you're not progressing. Why is it that you are still serving this God when you seem to be in a position that you're not expanding? You don't seem to be doing any better than you were 10 years ago. Why are you still living like that? The scripture says that it's better. Better is the poor who walks in integrity than the fool who exercises twisted speech. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity. The scripture says that it's better even to is a living dog than a dead lion. Although I may not seem as powerful, I may not seem as affluent, I may not seem as eloquent, I may not seem as rich and as lavish as others. The scripture says, better is the poor that walks in his integrity. Even when things seem like they are not working in our favor, the Lord is saying, will you still allow that light to shine? Will you still allow that light of honesty to be manifested, even when it could cost you something that you are greatly desiring? Even when it could cost you your life. The scripture says that when there rose up a striving amongst the Greek believers and amongst the Jewish believers, the widows in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says that they came to the apostles and they said, listen, Peter, John, James, we're having a problem here. There seems to be some issues. There seems to be some favoritism and some partiality that's taking place amongst the distribution of food and goods to the widows. And Peter says, listen, we don't have time to meddle in this business. Our focus is to preach the gospel. Our focus is to give ourselves entirely to the word of God. But he says, choose out from amongst you seven men of honest report. Men who have an honest report. Men who they've been tested, they've been tried. People have watched and examined their life, that they do not compromise their standards. They will not choose a lie in the midst of persecution. They will not choose to deceive in order for gain. They will not take a bribe in order to be blessed. And he says, choose out these seven men. The scripture says they chose them. And one of them was named Stephen. And the book of Acts highlights the life of Stephen and speaks about how Stephen, this man who was of honest report and full of faith in the Holy Ghost, he begins to speak about Jesus. He begins to now declare this message to the point where this light is shining so bright that there are men who are trying to resist the light. The light is shining so bright that now the sins of people are starting to be exposed. And it says in verse 9 that then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, or they gathered men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Why is this highlighted? Why did the writer of Acts put this last verse in there? That all who sat on the council saw that his face was like an angel. Why? Because they saw that there was a brightness. There was a light that was shining on Stephen. There was something that was emanating from his being. The praises of God were so upon him. They were so moving through his being that it was just emitting this light. That even those enemies who sat in darkness, who sat upon the council and were ready to now lie against him, they could not even refuse the light that was in him. Although they had gathered witnesses to try and now witness a false thing against him. They tried now to even say that he lied. They tried to say that he was speaking evil against Moses and against this place. But as they looked upon him, they recognized that the light was still shining. As they were trying to bury him, as they were trying to bury him in lies and in allegations and all these manner of false reports, they recognized that although they tried to bury the light was still shining. Because there was an honesty in Stephen. There was an honesty in his heart. He was walking in his integrity. And that integrity was shining through the darkness. That integrity was shining through all of the persecution, all of the lies that they had tried to put upon his name. And as Stephen stood there facing the council, as the council faced him, they recognized and could not deny that the light of God was shining upon him. And they asked him, "What now? We want to hear from you." And as he began to speak, He began to speak, moving from the book of Genesis all the way to the present time. He began to speak about Abraham. He spoke about Joseph, a man of integrity. He spoke about Moses. He spoke about David. He continued and he began to open up the whole counsel of God to them. And he began to reveal that light. And so the light now is beginning to shine through him. And as he's speaking from this honest heart, and the truth is hitting these men so vehemently, it's hitting them as rocks. The same rocks that they wanted to stone him with is the same way that the words are hitting them. Until now, they recognize that they cannot resist the words that he's speaking. They can't stop the truth from shining from this honest heart. And so now, as he's speaking, the scripture says that they were pricked in their hearts. And as they were pricked in their hearts, they became so angry. They became so violent, so evil. Moved against Stephen, that they took up stones, and the scripture said they began to stone Stephen. They tried to put out the light. They stoned him until he died. And as they were stoning the light, more light shined. Because as they were stoning him, Stephen had a revelation. The clouds opened up and he saw the light standing upon the throne of God. He saw Jesus Christ himself standing upon the right hand of God. And as he's looking up and seeing the brilliance of the light, as Jesus, the light of God, is looking down at his light beneath and seeing the reflection and the beauty shining forth, he says, no, I can't afford for him to die without seeing this beauty. I can't afford for him to die without greater light being revealed. And as he's being stoned to death, as Stephen is taking this persecution but still shining, the scripture says that in that last moment he says, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. Father, I'm so enraptured by this light that my last word is the same word that you spoke on the cross. Do not lay this sin to their charge. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as the stone hit him and he took his last breath in forgiveness, the scripture says that he died. He died. And many people, the next chapter in verse 1 says that devout men, they made great lamentation over Stephen. They thought that this light had just gone out in vain. This man who was of honest report, who lived a life of integrity, who lived a life of honesty. They just thought that maybe as we're burying him, we're grieving because he lived so righteously. He lived so pure. Why is it that he had to be killed like this? Why is it that he died? Why is it that he went out like that? But by the next chapter, by the time the next chapter is opened, the scripture says that while Saul went down to Damascus, looking to put out every form of the light that he could see, That prayer of forgiveness that was released up into the heavens, that prayer that came from a heart of integrity and honesty, that prayer that came from a man of integrity, it moved the heart of God. And so when God heard that prayer, that sin that should have been laid to the charge of Saul's account, that sin was now forgiven and the light shone. And when that light, now God opens the heavens again. The last time it was Stephen that saw him, and no one else could see him. They couldn't see what he saw. But when the scripture declares to us that Jesus Christ revealed himself, that prayer that came from a heart of honesty, it now when Paul looks up and he says, Lord, who are you? Light, who are you? The light responds and says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. I'm the light that you've been trying to put out. Although you've been speaking evil against me, although you've been trying to destroy my servants, you tried to put out the light that was in Stephen. But the only problem with it is that that light was not a temporary light. It's an eternal light that keeps shining. So although the body is dead, the spirit of God is still alive. And so now the light shines upon Paul. And as he's sitting there and he's trembling and he's looking up, the scripture says, what will you have me to do? That is his way of glorifying God in the day of visitation. that whereas he spoke evil of Stephen, he held the garments of those who stoned him. But whereas they spoke evil of Stephen, in this day, in the day of visitation, Paul has to give glory to God. He says, what will you have me to do? Meaning, I'm here for your glory. Someone needs to understand that the life that you live will give glory to God. The integrity that you choose to cling to, it will give glory to God. Although they speak evil of you, although they speak ill of your character, although they may speak about you and try to give you a poor reputation, because you have good character, and good character will always outlast a bad reputation. And if you ask Job, they spoke evil of him. Those who came to comfort him turned against him. Those who came to encourage him began to speak evil of him. They began to mock at him. They began to say, you must have done something wrong, Job. You must have done something evil to be in this position. How is it that you're not progressing? How is it that everything is falling apart in your life? Your family is messed up. Your wife is telling you to curse God. All such things. And you have flesh wounds. You have almost what it looks like leprosy on your skin, scraping yourself to try and get comfort. How is it that you can be a righteous man of God? And as they began to speak evil of Job, and Job took all these words in, when we check and flip the next chapter, someone needs to know that the chapter will be turned, the pages will be turned. And when the Lord came to visit Job in his day of visitation, the scripture says that when the Lord came to Job, that he restored to Job double. Everything that he had lost, he was given double for it. His integrity now paid off. He's now cashing in on his integrity. The investment is coming forth. And as the Lord is restoring to Job, he looks at his seven friends and he says, now is in this day of visitation, you are going to glorify me. But the only way that your glorifying of me will be accepted is when you turn to Job and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to pray for you. And it was when Job prayed that prayer of forgiveness. Just like how Stephen prayed that prayer of forgiveness. Those who were persecuting Job, those who were speaking against Job, were restored. They were forgiven. And we see that just like they were forgiven, we see that Paul was forgiven of his sins, that Paul was restored. Somebody's integrity is going to bring salvation to some soul who is in sin. They may be speaking about you, they may be mocking you, they may be talking against you, but it is your prayer, it is your honest life, it is your integrity that is going to bring salvation. It is your light that is going to shine and cause them to be saved. And so the Lord is saying to us in this hour, let your light so shine as it did through Job, as it did through Stephen, as it did through Joseph. Let your light shine. And it must come. The light will only shine from an honest and a good heart. And we'll look at one last verse. If we could look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 as we close. We can pull it up in Luke 8, verse 15 in KJV. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As Jesus was talking to his disciples and explaining the parable of the sower and the seed, we can pull up Luke 8, verse 15. He's giving them, he's helping them to understand the mysteries. And we'll read from 14. It says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. What does he say next? Verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, thank you, Jesus, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. We see the contrast between those in verse 14 that fell among thorns. And that he says that when they hear the word, and that's why we have to be careful how we hear. When they hear the word, they go forth to live their life. They are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Meaning the lusts that Peter speaks about in 2 Peter 2 and verse 11. He says, abstain from those fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Now, he's saying in verse 14, the pleasures of this life, the cares and the riches, it chokes these people and it brings no fruit to perfection. The light is not able to shine through them. So people cannot come to the Christ. They cannot come to the Lord and be saved through that person's life, because there's an entanglement. But the verse 15 says that those with an honest and a good heart are those that heard the word. They keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. My question today is, what heart do you have? What heart do you have? It is only those with the honest and good heart that will be able to bring forth fruit and allow the light to shine. Because the honest and the good heart is a transparent covering that the light of Christ can shine through. And so tonight, the Lord is calling us to live honest lives. Live a pure life. Live a life that is worthy of praise, a life that is worthy in the sight of the Lord, that will bring glory to the Lord, because he wants to set you on the candlestick so that all men may see and be drawn to his light. Will you be a Stephen today? Will you allow the light to shine even when all those around you are ready to kill you? Will you keep speaking for Jesus? Will you keep living right? Will you keep doing what God is requiring, even when it hurts? David said in Psalms 15 that it is the person, he says, who he'll do the right thing, even when it hurts. And so tonight, the Lord will give you the strength to shine for him, as long as you allow him to purify your heart, that it may be honest and good. God bless you tonight, and just